of you can relate to that? Confession time. How many of you have some dirty laundry at your house that needs to be cleaned? Can I get a witness? All right. We'll join the club. We all do. Well, it is so great to have all of you. And ladies, by the way, you just keep standing or hold up your hand. We want to make sure that no mom is overlooked or missed today. Just hold up your hand. We want to make sure you have the opportunity to get one of those little raffle tickets. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, ushers. And by the way, moms and dads, if you have a little one sitting in your lap and you want to take advantage of our wonderful child care, feel free to do that as well. You can slip up at any time to do that. Well, we are kicking off a brand new series called Dirty Laundry. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about some things that I think would be very helpful and practical to you. But I thought it would only be fitting on this Mother's Day to talk about a subject that I know that many moms, in fact, all of us can relate to, dirty laundry. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is that when you think about the dirty laundry and the responsibility that that entails as far as just the mounds and mounds of laundry that piles up, you know, it can be one of those situations where it feels as though that is a job that just never ends. In fact, last Christmas, Michelle and I came up with this brilliant idea. We saw this this unique clothing basket and container at IKEA. And so we thought, oh, that's perfect. Let's get one for each of our kids, and we'll you know, kind of show them how to use this. And what was cool about it, it actually was a little laundry bin, and it had a bag representing the dark clothes and one bag representing the white clothes. And so we thought this would be perfect. That way it would help keep everybody organized. That can separate the darks from the whites, and that will save a lot of headache and confusion. And on top of that, we thought it would be a good way to kind of put the responsibility back on them to say, now you're in charge of washing and drying and folding your own clothes. And so you know how it goes. With all best intentions, we thought that was a great plan. The problem was, as a family of five, because of the busyness of our lives, the one and only day that became obvious as the day to wash all of our clothes happens to be on Saturday. So everybody's jockeying for position to get first dibs on the washer or the dryer. And inevitably, as you can imagine, in the midst of it all and not enough time to get everything done, the darks and the whites will get mixed together. And you know how it is, the old missing sock syndrome. You know, things will just suddenly disappear or things didn't turn out right. And so for me specifically, I'm very particular about my pants. And so I'll have a little confession here. You know, it's been said that I am 5'7". But I know, and God knows, I'm actually 5'8". But my pant size says I'm actually 5'7½". So when I buy pants or jeans or whatever, I have a legitimate 31 inseam. Which means when I go to buy pants, I either have to go short, meaning 30 inseam, or I have to go big, meaning 32. And obviously 32 is just a little too long, and the 30s are just a little too short, or they may fit perfect, but there's no margin of error. If they happen to get thrown in the dryer, then those pants are toast. So I've let it be known to Michelle, whatever you do, on my 30 inseam pair of pants, do not throw them in the dryer. They need to be hung up so I can wear those things. When the busyness and the chaos and the confusion, again, the best of intentions, nobody pays any attention to the tags or the labels that have specific instructions on what to do and how to care for the clothing. So they all just kind of get mixed together. And as a result, my 30 inseam pants, after accidentally being thrown in the dryer, ends up looking like this. And that's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that just doesn't work. It looks like I'm waiting for a flood or something. So it ruins a perfect, great pair of jeans. And so anyway, I don't know if your household is anything like mine, but so often what happens is that tags and labels get ignored or misread. And as a result, consequently, things don't always end up as they could or should when it comes to dealing with the laundry in our house. Well, you know, there's another kind of laundry. And today we're talking about dirty laundry. And I want to share with you something that I think is very important as it relates to dirty laundry. Because at the end of the day, our culture and our world is constantly putting various tags and labels upon our lives. In fact, those tags and labels can be negative tags and labels due to perhaps dirty laundry in our lives. And in the book of John, if you have your Bibles, feel free to take them and open them up to John chapter 4. There's an interesting story that takes place. It's a conversation between Jesus and a woman. This particular woman had, you could say, dirty laundry going on in her life. She had been given negative tags and labels that she was having to overcome and deal with. And this interesting conversation that took place was something that ultimately ended up changing her life. But I want to just begin by reading John chapter 4, looking at verse 7. And I'm just going to be skipping around and highlighting a couple of the main core verses I want to share with you as it relates to this particular story. In verse 7 it says, "Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?' And Jesus replied, 'If you knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water.'" Let me pause here and just emphasize something that's really interesting. Jesus was on his way from Judea to a place called Galilee. And he was walking with his disciples and he felt compelled to suddenly go off course and to go through this place called Samaria. Now the reason why he was going off course is because back in the day, in biblical times, Jews would never take that route. Even though it was shorter, they preferred to go the longer route to Galilee, because Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. In fact, in many ways, there was this tremendous rivalry. There was a cultural disconnect. There were cultural labels that had been placed upon the Samaritans because they were a mixed race. And therefore, the Jews had rejected them. And because they were a mixed race, and the Jews, from their perspective, saw the Samaritans being impure, they had no respect and they had no dealings whatsoever with these people known as Samaritans. Therefore, the people called the Samaritans were living under the umbrella of these negative tags and labels culturally. But there was a tremendous disrespect that the Jews had for them. Jesus overcame all of that. In fact, he countered culture. And what he did is he just said, "I must go through Samaria." Because he knew in his heart there was a divine appointment that he had there at a well, because there was going to be a woman that needed to overcome some of the negative labels and tags that had caused a tremendous amount of pain and dirty laundry in her heart. So we pick it back up. In the midst of this conversation, Jesus, being a Jew himself, engages in a conversation in midday with a Samaritan woman. Something that not only was frowned upon, but something that no man would ever be seen publicly doing as far as having open conversation or even speaking to a Samaritan in midday. But Jesus, once again, threw all of that out the window, and he spoke into this woman's heart. And he offered her this living water that was far greater than the temporal water that she was trying to draw from the well to satisfy the thirst and needs in her life. And it goes on to say in verse 16, Jesus exposed her morally and exposed her for the dirty laundry that perhaps she had been dealing with her whole life. And he said, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. In verse 17, she said, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. In fact, you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with right now. You certainly spoke the truth." And in this moment of conversation, Jesus exposed the dirty laundry in this woman's life. But rather than holding it against her, rather than placing false guilt and condemnation upon her, he offered her this living water. It was the water that would bring hope and healing and restoration and ultimately forgiveness and new beginnings in her life. And in that moment when she finally realized who it was that she was speaking to, the Bible says she left her water jar and she ran back to the village, telling everybody about the man who had told her everything she had ever done, but speaking specifically of the man who was the Messiah, the Savior of the world that had changed her life. I invited my wife Michelle to come and to share with you three things that I think are so crucial to overcoming the negative labels and tags that are so easily placed upon our lives. And my better half, Michelle, who she and I will be celebrating 22 years in a couple of weeks for our 22nd wedding anniversary. And we thought it would only be fitting on this special Mother's Day for a mother of three. We have a 17-year-old, we have a 15-year-old, and we have a 12-year-old soon to be a teenager. So we'll have three teenagers. That's hard to believe. But as you think about the responsibilities and overcoming the negative tags and labels, I want you to listen to what God has put upon Michelle's heart.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. We love you here at Fellowship. I'm so thankful for the women in my life, of course, for my mother. But maybe like me, you have women in your life that have mentored you just by the way that they've lived their life in front of you, just by the words that they speak over your life. Do you have women like that in your life? I'm so thankful for those women, and some of them are in this room today. I love you, and I thank you for the investment that you make into my life. So, happy Mother's Day. And we are talking about the tags and labels on our lives, and such an incredible story that we heard about the Samaritan woman. But I just want to talk to you about three things that tags and labels can do in our lives. The first one that I have to say is my label is not defined by my past or by what others have spoken about me. My labels are not defined by my past or by what others have spoken about me. You know, some of us, we carry around a label, and you know, we may not wear a shirt that says this label, but it's labeled in our hearts, and it's almost just sunk into our hearts, the labels that we carry from our past mistakes. Maybe it was a financial mistake that you made. You know, maybe you're carrying the labels of foreclosure on your life or bankruptcy. Maybe it's a relational label that you carry. It's mistakes that you've made that you just keep holding on to, and it's a label that you've carried in your life. Maybe it's divorce, a failed relationship. Maybe it's a career label that you carry around with you everywhere you go, that you just didn't measure up to someone's expectations. Or maybe it's a relational and moral label that you carry around with you. Decisions that you made, maybe that only you know about. Maybe you and God are the only ones that know about it. But it's a moral decision that you made, and it's a label that you just can't seem to let go of, and you keep holding on to. There's other kinds of labels in our lives, and those are the labels that people place on us, that people have said about us. Maybe it was even the people that raised you said something about you. Maybe it was just one time, one statement that you held on to, and it's a label that you put on your heart and you just can't seem to get past. Maybe it is a label that a coach put on you. Maybe you didn't make the first string and he said you just aren't good enough for the team. And that label you've held on to, and it may seem silly, it may have seemed insignificant to others, but it meant something to you, and you've held on to it. Maybe it was a teacher, someone that said something to you that you just couldn't rise above. We have our daughter, Rebecca. Rodney mentioned a minute ago, is our 17-year-old. She's a junior in high school, and we're super proud of her. She leads worship here at the church on the weekends. She helps lead worship at our Remix student ministry. And there's a couple of things that had happened in her life when she was younger. She was struggling in school. And so we took her to the counselor and to her teacher, and we just wanted to talk through and see what we could do to help her. And you know, all the standardized testing. You know, it's kind of a challenge for those of us that are not good at test taking, but we might be good students. So Rebecca kept getting these average scores back on her FCAT and the standardized testing. So when we sat down with the teacher and the counselor looked over her grades, looked over her scores, and the words came out of the counselor's mouth. You know, Rebecca, you're getting average scores on your test. You're getting average grades in your classroom. It just looks like in your future, you are just going to be an average student. So as she went along, they put her in the regular classes. And Rodney and I just decided, you know what? We are not going to have that. We're going to go in, we're going to override, and we're going to put her in advanced classes because we believe she was not just average. And just a few weeks ago, Rebecca came to me and she said, Mom, she's in all advanced classes this year. She said, Mom, for the first time in high school, I have straight A's. So I was so proud of her. That counselor and that teacher did not define her destiny. God has put greatness inside of her. God has put a future inside of her that is great. Talent inside of her and greatness inside of her could not be measured by the FCAT. It could only be measured by God who created her. And that's what we believe, that the labels are not, the labels from our past and the labels that people put on us are not defined. They do not define us. I love this scripture I heard this week. It's Isaiah 54:17. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. You are great. God has put greatness inside of you. So don't let ever any tongue that has been shown against you, anything that has been said negative against you, hold on to you. We have to learn to let go of those labels. Experts can be wrong. Experts said the Titanic would not sink. Experts said that the Ark would not float. Experts obviously can be wrong. Only God determines who you are and who you will become. People do not determine it. God determines your destiny. And the second thing that I want to share with you, if you're taking notes, God is my designer. He is going to define my label. Jesus defined the woman at the well. He knew everything about her. He knew all of her past. In fact, he knew all of her future, and he defined her by her future. This woman went back to her city, to her town, and told many, many people about Jesus. She changed the course of history for many people and her family. Jesus saw her not by who she was, but who she could become. God's mercy is much bigger than our mistakes. Is anybody happy about that one? God's mercy is much bigger than our mistakes. His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, great is his faithfulness to us. And I am so thankful for that, because I need mercy that's bigger than my mistakes. I am not perfect. And I definitely have had things said to me that made me feel that I was not perfect, but my God's mercy is much bigger. I love when the Bible talks about Peter in the Gospels. He was given the name Simon by his parents, and the meaning of that name was shifty. Simon meant shifty. But when Jesus met Simon, he renamed him and gave him the name Peter, the rock, because that was the rock that he was going to build his church upon. He saw the greatness in him. In 1 Peter 2:4, Peter wrote, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. Amen? And precious to him. Rodney and I wrote a book entitled Rethink Life. In the second chapter, it's Rethink You. And we outline three things that God believes about you. He says that you are valuable. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. God paid a high price for each one of you. Each individual chair, each person sitting in that chair, he paid a price, and it was a high price for you when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross, his only son, to die for you individually, for your sin and for mine. He paid a high price for you. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible tells us that we are his masterpiece. We are valuable, of high worth to him. We were created in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He has a great plan for our lives. He sees you as valuable and of high worth. He sees you as forgivable. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose you. And there's that phrase again, in Christ. In Christ, he chose you to be holy and blameless. Before he ever created the world, he chose you. And he wanted you to be holy and blameless before him. I know many of us feel that we are not holy and we are not blameless. But because of what Jesus has done for us, he sees us that way if we accept his son into our lives. He sees us as capable. I know that many of you know this scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ in him who strengthens me. It's all because of Jesus. Amen. We can do all things. He sees you as fully capable. He sees you above and not beneath. He sees you as the head and not the tail. He sees you as fully capable to do all things. And that is the way that God sees and loves us. The third thing that I want to share with you today, and the last thing, is that others may end up wearing the labels that we place on them. Others may end up wearing the labels that we choose to place on them. My sister Crystal is the third of four girls in our family. I'm the first, and Crystal is the third. Now, when she came into our world was turned upside down at our house. She was like a hurricane that hit the home. She was just so fun, full of energy, but she was on the move. I don't know if you guys have any kids like that, but she was constantly on the move. My mother loved to grow pots that were planted with plants. Yes. What do you say? Pots planted. I don't know. Obviously, I don't do that at my house. I did not claim that label. I am not a gardener. But she would crawl around and get into those pots. She would pull out the plants and she would eat them. It was crazy. Then she found the dog food, and she began to start eating the dog food. And then she went to school, and the teacher sent home a note that she had been eating the temper paint. It was crazy. She was just nuts, but so much fun. So my parents gave her the name Crystal the Pistol. And everybody started calling her Crystal the Pistol. And as we got older, that just kept going on and on. And we tease her, you're Crystal the Pistol, because you're just such a mess. And when she was about 10 years old, I was in beginning high school. My parents did a family powwow. And something that a class that they went to or a conference they went to, they got convicted about calling her Crystal the Pistol. So they said, family, all you girls, we're going to stop calling her Crystal the Pistol, and we are going to just call her Crystal because she's beautiful. That's the name we gave her, brilliant and bright for the Lord. That is who she's going to be in this home. That's who she's going to be in the world. We're going to just call her Crystal. I'll never forget that day because it made an impact on my life. The words that we speak over our children are so important. Some of you may have met my sister Crystal at the Rethink Pink Conference. She has given up an incredible job that she's been doing so well financially, and has given it all up. She is starting a new ministry called Heart Stories, and it's a website that is going to connect women all over the world with the stories of their heart so they can find healing and restoration and redemption through relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's Crystal today. Yes. The way that we see our kids is the way that we treat them. And the way that we treat them is often the way that they will become. Isn't that right? The words that we choose to speak over them are so very, very important. I had to apologize to one of my children this week for the words that I spoke to her when I was tired, when I was frustrated, and I was just at my wit's end. I spoke words that I should have not spoken, and I had to go back and apologize for the words that I spoke. Our words are powerful. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 18:21, words can kill or words can give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. You get the choice. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he spoke to her of life, of this water that he was going to give her that was going to be bubbling over into an amazing life that she could have that was clean. It was free of all the labels that she had in her past. She had a beautiful future ahead of her. Ephesians 4:29 says, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When our children go to bed at night, what are the words that we're speaking over them? What are the prayers that we are praying over them? Are we praying, God, I pray that you will make this child a world changer. I believe that they have all that it takes within them. You've given them every gift that they need to make a difference in this world. When they leave and walk out the door, rushing out the door to school in the morning, what are the words that we're speaking over them? Luke, I believe that you are a leader, and the choices that you make today will be an illustration to the people around you, will be a witness to the people around you. Luke, I believe that you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. God has raised you up for such a time as this to make a difference in the lives of those people around you. You shine your light to your teacher today by the way that you do your work, by the way that you live, the choices you make. I want you to shine your light because I believe God has made you a world changer. I believe he has made you a leader for your generation. Those are the types of words that we can speak. We have the choice to speak those words over our children's lives. So very important, because we all, every single one of us have dirty laundry. Every single one of us in this room. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us that we can be clean and we can be forgiven. And we each have that choice, and we have that choice to accept that forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do not let those labels that someone spoke over you hang on to your life. Do not let those choices that you made in your past that you regret so much, don't wear them on your heart. Give them to your God. He paid a high price for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to give you clean slate. He wants to make beautiful things of your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing here in this church. Father, thank you for every person that sits here this morning that you brought to church this morning. Father, thank you for your words that are so powerful to us today, that we don't have to be defined by our past, because you define our future. You've called us holy. You've called us blameless. You've called us forgiven. You've called us valuable. You've called us capable to do the things that you've called us to do, God. We each have a purpose for living. And God, help us to make a difference and an impact on the lives around us. In the name of Jesus.